Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brendan, welcome. How are you?
Mike, welcome back. Great
Thank
to
you.
Have you back.
My pleasure. All right. You know the Knicks as well as anybody. First, tell me this. What do you think the Knicks' thought process is here? Do you think they're looking, they're okay at 9 and they're there? Do you think they're looking to move up? What do you think the Knicks are up to right now?
I think that, I'll tell you this, because I heard the guy that was on, you know, just a little while ago.
Right.
The Memphis situation is very interesting at 4. They are, as you know, openly shopping the pick. You got to take Parsons.
With the
pick. It can get a little bit more complicated from there.
Right.
But they have a deal. They do have a deal, from what I learned in the last 2 days.
With somebody.
I don't know who they're doing it with.
They have a willing partner.
They have a willing partner, but they are continuing to push to get a better willing partner, if that makes sense to you.
Is any chance the Knicks are that willing partner?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not privy as to what's going on with these last couple days with the Knicks. I read some of the situations, you know, the last couple days, some stories, some internet, about the Knicks trying to move up. And I think the problem with trying to move up, if you're just using Courtney Lee and the 9 pick
right.
to get up, you know, depending on some of these different teams that are up past 9, if you really want to go up and go find somebody and go get someone you really want, you know, it might take more than that, and you're not going to put in any future picks. There's not going to be
picks.
The picks for next year's draft are staying
the rumor
in New York.
Weren't
There's no
picks.
Way in the world that they're moving those.
Here was the rumor. Chandler and the 9. Chandler and the 4 for the 9, Thomas, Lee, and Nicolina.
So, you know, Memphis's perspective on what they're trying to do, yes, they want to, you know, get rid of that contract in the 2 years and the $49 million. But what they're willing to take back, what they're willing to do, you know, and actuality of what they really want back, where is Memphis? Is Memphis in a situation where they're just so desperate to get rid of that contract but still get 9? Or, you know, are they trying to make an educated trade about it, you know, and get some good players back? And that's the hard gauge in the situation.
Give me what's your thought about the Knick point guards who are under contract right now. What do you think about these guys, where they are? We know the issues with them. We know who they are. What do you think of these guys?
Well, first of all, you have a new coach. The new coach is going to get the team to play very, very hard at both ends of the floor, and athleticism will be at a premium. But if you're going to be a point guard for David Fizdale, you're going to have to play both ends of the floor. And I think that there are positive factors, positive capabilities of the three guys that they have, but it's going to be a demanding sort of a situation for all three guys in different ways. And, you know, Moutier gets a fresh start.
Right.
We know that Burke can put the ball in the basket, but,
right.
you know, can he be a starting point guard every night, or is he a 20, 25-minute guy? And
what you've seen from Nealakina, do you like what you've seen? Do you not like what you've seen? I mean, do you think you see a player there of some substance? I mean, we see a guy who could play some D, I believe that. His offense looks to be, at least from what I've seen, very limited. What do you see from him so far?
Are you asking about Nealakina?
Yes.
Nealakina played much better at the end of the season when he only played a tiny bit of point guard and he played off the ball. Now, his whole demeanor in the last 25 to 30 games really changed. And they played he and Burke together quite a bit. And that combination, I think, was good for both guys. And so the reality of it is, you know, part of the question with Neal Aquina is, what is he? You know, is he really a point guard? Is he really a shooting guard? You know, he's a very young person. He can continue to grow. Is it possible that he needs to, you know, he could end up being a small forward? There are a lot of guys in this league, Mike, who started off as point guards and then had great careers playing a different position. Allen Iverson is one of the best examples. He's a point guard when he came in. And, you know, there's no shame in that or anything to that.
Do you see a keeper in this player, though?
Well, I think what it is how good, if he's going to play off the ball, if he's going to be a wing player, you know, how well does his shooting ability improve? And he was a good shooter, I can tell you this, and my partner can tell you this, Ed Cohen, as I said a million times during the season, he was a very good shooter off the dribble in many situations, but shooting off the catch was a little bit of a problem for him. So, you know, he's very young, he's got talent, but, you know, like anything else, it's hard to figure out, you know, if the guy's going to develop exactly the way you want to.
What do you hear about the Knicks in 9? Do you have a wish list for them at 9 right now?
No, I don't have much. I can tell you, though, how the draft works in a lot of draft rooms, because I was on the basketball side for 12 years, and I was with some teams that were in the lottery. What will happen for the Knicks in the situation? Most teams do something called groups of five, and they say, well, here are the guys 1 through 5, and here are the guys 6 through 10, and you do that all the way through the first round, and then you do it through the first 5 picks of the second round and the second. So you do like 40 picks in groups of five. And in the situation that it comes up, Knicks sit at 9, they don't move. If one of those guys in the top 5 does not get picked that you have in the top 5, then that's where it starts getting interesting on draft night. Can you get the 6? Can you get the 7? Can you get the 8? And maybe just flip-flop picks with somebody and get a guy that you deem in the top 5 of the draft when you're at 9. And the other thing that happens with that is that if a guy starts dropping, why is he dropping? And did you do the research necessarily with the college coach? Did you do the research with the agent? Did you have the guy in for a workout? Because sometimes there'll be a guy who's up there that you didn't bring in for a workout because you were at 9, and then he starts falling, and then you start figuring out, like, we have a chance to get the guy.
Right, and then you got to do some heavy research on a guy that you, or take someone else's opinion on a guy.
Correct.
Well, that does happen on every draft. I mean, that's going to happen to somebody tomorrow night. Somebody's going to fall who wasn't expected to fall. We're talking with Brendan Brown. Is there a player, you're a basketball junkie, is there a player out there that you personally like a lot who you know might be projected in the 20s or might be true? See, you know, listen, they all miss guys. There's guys in the 20s who play in this, there's guys in the second round play in this league, become really good players. There's guys in this league who get picked in the bottom of the first round, become really big stars in this league. So we know it happens. It's not like every guy is in the top 10. So, you know, if you project a guy that someone else might not project that high, it doesn't mean you're wrong. You can have an opinion on a guy who could become a really good player in this league. So do you have one of those this year that you really like?
I know one guy that some people are really high on that they think is a little low right now.
Who's that?
And that is the guard from Miami, who's a point guard and has shown pretty well in the workouts.
Right.
And he is moving up and moving up and moving up mocks. And I think that because we did have Donovan Mitchell in the draft last year, who went in the middle of the round.
Yep.
You know, everyone is like...
And really wasn't talked about that much. I mean, Smith was talked about, but everybody knew he had a bad leg. So everyone knew Smith was talented, but he had a bad leg. But this guy, Mitchell, I don't remember anybody talking about Mitchell last year.
Right, and it happens, as you say, it happens all the time. And there are great players that get drafted in the middle of the round and at the end of the round. And Utah got it right like 2 years in a row with the 47th pick in the draft for two very, very good pros. One is Paul Millsap.
Yep.
And the other guy was Mo Williams. But, you know, to me, the way I see this happening is you try to figure out these mocks. And now, like your last guest said, like everyone's just throwing out all kinds of stuff the last couple of days before the draft, is that the three guys who are really moving around the most,
right,
like as you look from mock to mock, are Wendell Carter out of Duke,
right,
who I like very much. I think he's a very polished scorer for a young guy. Trae Young is all over the map as to where he might go. And then the other guy would be Michael Porter Jr., who
has got an injury,
you know,
situation.
Such a hard guy,
right,
to figure out.
Right, because of the injury.
Because of the injuries. Yep. But, you know, he came in to this season as the number one guy in college.
You know, Young's interesting because the league really gravitates to a guy like him now. We're talking with Brendan Brown. He clearly is not big. He clearly is not physical, but he does have gifts. I mean, he's a very good passer. He's a wonderful long-range shooter. We know that. He's a guy who's going to be able to put the ball in the basket, but is he going to be overmatched physically on the floor? That's the question.
Well, now you go back to, like, the Steph Curry situation. You know, it's like you can do this exercise and find a guy in each draft that probably was, you know, drafted slots past where he should have been. And, you know, that was the question with Steph Curry and why he went number 7 and, you know, broke the hearts of the Knicks fans that, you know, were drafting at 8. But Young...
You like Young, though?
I worry about the way that they played. You know, the fact that he can make a 30-footer, that's great, but, like, why is he taking so many 30-footers?
He took so many bad shots last year. I mean, so many.
He's a very high turnover guy, and I know they were trying to play fast.
Right.
But, I mean, he would have games of 7 and 8 and 9, and, you know, that would worry me, I think, to a certain degree. And that's why I think he has slid in mocks. I don't know how he's doing, you know, working out from team to team, but he seems to be sliding. But, you know, as Hubie says, all it takes one team to like it, and you get picked.
Absolutely. 4 o'clock, WFAN and WFAN FM in New York. We're talking with Brendan Brown, who knows Hubie very well, of course, and, again, learned his basketball from a guy who was, knows the NBA as well as anybody who ever lived, and Hubie Brown. So the apple didn't fall far from the tree. So from that standpoint, but it's funny, the two Villanova kids. Now, Spellman's going to take a while. We know Bridges is very complete, as Jay said, as a person and as a shooter and as a player. The other two, to me, are fascinating. I think Brunson's better than a backup point because he controls his body. He plays bigger than he is. He's always under control. And the other guy, who I think is one of the most fascinating picks, I think Dante is one of the most fascinating picks. I think people thought he was a second rounder, that he didn't belong in this draft. He wowed him at the combines. He is a physical freak. I know he's only 6'4", but he jumps out of the gym, and he is a winner everywhere he's ever been, and he is an electric scorer. I love that kid. I think he's going to be a very good NBA player.
Well, NBA acumen would say that he would have gone back to school if he was trying to make that decision. But a team probably in that 20 to 30 range promised that they would take him. So then he came out.
Right. And
that's kind of how the draft works.
And he did well at the combines, too, though. He did really well at the combines.
Right. But they, you know, they promised. That was an upset on draft night. I was in a draft room when it happened.
Yep.
And that was considered a big upset, as was Dwayne Wade getting picked 5th. Like, it's so funny. Now, over the course of time, these guys become great players, but when you're sitting there on draft night, you know, the perspective can be so much different. So, you know, the Villanova kids are interesting. I think some people are knocking Bridges on that he might be too one-dimensional, but if he's shooting 43%.
He's a good shooter.
He's really good one dimensional.
Yeah, he is.
He is a quality kid, as good a kid, you know, as you'll find in the draft. Brunson is interesting. Something that might worry me, and you know, in this draft, once you get past like the first 8 or 9 guys, a lot of it has to do with what kind of team do you go to, what kind of style do they play.
You
could absolutely not play for one team, and then you go to another team, and you're a pretty good player. Brunson's separation speed, to me, I think will be an issue in the NBA. I think he'll be smart. I think he'll make good plays. But having that burst to maybe turn the corner or just have that little bit of a giddy up to get away from people, I wonder a little bit about, can he do that?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he can. I think his strength is he controls his body well, and he gets his shot. And he gets people off balance. He does a lot. And I understand it's tougher in the NBA. We all know that. But it seems to me he's a very, very complete guard. I think he could be in the league a long time. You know, listen, most people didn't think Kimball Walker was going to play in this league either. Look how well he's played in this league, you know?
Right, and so much comes down to, you know, you're heartbroken, some team, let's just say hypothetical player, you know, point guard. Just, yeah. I'm not naming a name.
Right.
He was supposed to go 12 or 15, and he was promised that. And then he didn't get picked that way. And then he ends up going to 24, but 24 is like going to San Antonio. That's like sometimes the best thing in the world that can happen to the guy, that he ends up on a good team and a good culture, and then he's able to grow his game, you know, and move along.
Fascinating. So do you think there's anybody who fits the Knicks best this year? Is there somebody you think is a good fit for them, a certain type of player? Or do you think they just need a lot of stuff?
I do think they need a lot of stuff. There's two ways to look at it. You're at nine. I'm sure that they've seen a zillion people during the year. I'm sure that they've had a lot of workouts, a lot of interviews, face-to-face, college coaches, agents. I'm sure they've gone through a very diligent process to figure this out. Now it comes down to, do you just want to take the best player that you possibly can at nine if you are content with sitting at nine? Because it seems to me like there are 10 to 12 pretty good players in the draft.
Right.
So being at nine, because it's a little bit better draft maybe than usual drafts, you know, you could get a good player, but if you look at the structure of the team and who you have back, and then with Porzingis being out, Beasley being free, Kanter and O'Quinn both have the ability to opt out, you know, if there's a big person there or potentially a small forward that you really like, you know, would you take someone in the front court knowing that that's a tiny bit more of a need? But if they're in love with anyone, pick them.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Well, after they do that, we'll have you back on to give us a thought. So thanks for a couple of minutes. Enjoy it, and we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Mike. All right, appreciate it.
No problem. Brendan Brown?
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.